This is CliffCentral.com.
Good morning, everybody. What's happening? It's Friday. Are you happy? Are you excited? The weekend is here. You get to do what you want. You get to spend time with the people you want to spend time with. You get to, like, if you're Leanne, you get to look forward to Monday.
It's almost Monday.
I got some funny emails that we'll get to just now. So much to get into. I walked in this morning. I said, hello, Bachelor Nation.
Woo!
Ben and Sia got very excited. Wow. Is it? Are you a real man if you watch
Bachelor? Of course you are.
You are someone who appreciates quality television.
Oh.
I couldn't even complete that sentence with a straight face. All
right. So we're still real men.
Yeah, and Gareth, today we get to choose from the remaining 18 contestants.
All right,
we're putting it onto a scoreboard. Because, you know, unfortunately...
Wait, hold on. You've got an actual piece of paper with
a scoreboard? Ben has gone all the way. He's gone
all the way. Because the death pool, let's be honest, is a bit slow, right?
Oh, Jesus, it's taking forever.
Whereas with The
and
Bachelor...
And people like Karl Lagerfeld die, they're not on the death pool. Mm. It's very disappointing.
Can't cover it all. At least now when The Bachelor, people get eliminated, boom, action, talkability.
Right. Okay, well, now you're making it sound interesting.
Sorry, Leanne. Oh. No.
And it won't make you sick this time.
You can't turn over a new Bachelor leaf. You're in it or you're not. You've got to commit. I mean, it's a show to find true love, Leanne. You can't be half-hearted.
No, listen. I watched episode one.
I watched episode one. I still haven't seen episode two.
So then I'm exactly the same as Gareth.
So we're in we're in a good position. Don't worry about us.
No, you're not in a good
position.
We'll
catch up.
No.
We missed one episode, Ben.
Gareth, you've got to have the urgency. You've got to watch it live.
I don't know if my live television works. I've got to be honest with you. I turned it on.
Crap. Of course
my
it's
DSTV
on.
Thing says load. Like it's got a load. Like
oh, you need to scan.
I don't even have a TV. I watch everything on my laptop. So I can only watch today.
Well, if you guys were dedicated, like Sierra and I, you would have maybe followed the live feed on Twitter. Mnet are very good with it.
No, I think we're still in. Gareth and I have decided it's
still part of Bachelor Nation.
Yes.
Let Jason Greer, the president of Bachelor Nation, decide. Yes.
Grand High Chancellor.
He's coming in a little later.
All right, so he's the presenter of the show too.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
What's that giggle?
Nothing. Laughing, yeah. Nothing. Just carry on.
No, what was that?
Such a strange giggle.
Should he just gloss over it? Or?
Yeah, gloss over it.
What was that?
I giggled. I mean...
Like, cast a spell on this man?
It was a grunt and a giggle. What is that?
Hey, okay. I think our messages are working again.
Oh, yay.
Yay! Oh, you can message us again. I've missed like 5 days or 7 days of messages here on the show, so felt like I wasn't, you know, there was no one listening. Oh, people are talking. Mind you, I've just looked at some of the messages. I've missed nothing.
Oh, that was quick.
That was quick.
Oh, what a lot of shit. All right, so listen to this quickly. From Durban's Mike.
Oh.
Mike in Durban.
Hi, Mike.
I know I sound like a stuck record, but you guys make my day every day.
Oh. Ooh, we Mike his day.
Mike his day. I suppose that it shows my age with the stuck record comment. Surely that stuck record portion is not really relevant anymore. Yeah, who said stuck record on the show this week? Pop quiz. Because Mike reckons... Well, the words stuck record were said on the show this week. I think it was Gord who said it.
Probably was Gord, yeah.
He says, you shouldn't use that term anymore, because what would millennials know about stuck records?
That's very true.
Do you know what happened? You know what happens with a stuck record?
Does music get stuck anymore?
It's a record has grooves, right?
Yes.
And so when it's stuck,
yes,
that pin thingy that plays
needle?
From the needle
right.
is like jumping over the groove. So that's how it gets stuck.
Right.
Thanks.
Very good.
Thanks, he says. Like he's just won a fucking Oscar.
Wiping my brow.
Okay, so there we go. Well done on that one. Mike says, maybe it's time to find something else to get stuck on. Leanne was talking about her personal Jesus having power issues during Friday's show while it was affected by load shedding. A simple fix would be for her to buy a UPS, an uninterrupted power supply, which would last throughout the night. A 600 VA power supply would cost 500 Rand.
Ooh.
If she's in the Durban area, I would just give her one because I have some spare. Mike. Mm. I don't know if he's going to give you the VA, the 600 VA power thing, or he'd just give you one.
Mike, I'm not in Durban, but for 500 Rand, I'll buy one here. Thanks for the advice.
Okay. And will you still give him one?
I might. If I bump into you in Harry Smith, say.
And a Nick and...
At 7 o'clock on tomorrow morning.
Yeah, make sure meet somewhere in the middle.
In your red bucky.
I'll be wearing a purple dress.
Ooh. At that one stop, right?
Yes.
Yeah, where the people fill up with petrol.
And where the farm animals are.
Literally, there's only one stop.
We'll go to the petting zoo.
Nick in Taiwan says, hey, guys. I started listening to your podcasts after I saw Gareth on Ronaldo Jose's YouTube channel. Yeah, I went on this dude's YouTube channel.
Yeah.
Very cool.
Really awesome to hear all the news back home. I commute on a bicycle to and from my teaching jobs here, and the content always makes for a great ride. I listened to the Google Earth discussion since Taiwan got a shout-out.
Yeah.
I thought I'd make an effort to say thanks for the content. Well, thank you, Nick. See, people listen from all over the world.
Sure.
Very exciting. We got an interesting update yesterday. I was talking about how Damon Calvari, who used to be on this show, has been spamming everybody with his podcasts. This horrible show that he does with his wife Bernice.
I've never once been given a message. I'm so happy about this.
I really need to figure out how he decides who is he going to pick and who he won't. So Gordon and I are basically the victims.
Like Damon is he's a very funny dude. I have a lot of time for him. I remain friendly with Damon, but this show is just god awful. It really is. It's just the most awful thing. It's a complete. It's Bernice who's behind it. She's pushy as all hell. She wants everybody to hear her shit stories. And poor Damon has to put this thing out. And I feel very sorry for him because, you know, he doesn't work here anymore. So he didn't get his rocks off in terms of talking to an audience. So now he spams people like one of those, what are those companies that... Those pyramid scheme companies,
Nigerians,
Amway. It's kind of like that.
Smollett out of it, Leah.
And I like Damon, and I don't think he's trying to do anything but entertain people. But I think he's being pushed a lot to send this out to everybody, and it's just awful. You've got to block him in order to stop receiving this stuff because he was sending like two a day to Gord and other people that we know. So you know, that's an update on that front. And we'll get him in here and talk to him about it because I do like Damon. I really do. I mean, I find him very entertaining. He's a talented guy. He's extremely funny. But this show is just horrible. It's like watching a train accident. And the people who watch it ought to be ashamed.
Oh. That was brought to you by...
Yeah, that's a...
horrible.
Move anyway, over, Barry Ronge. Here's an honest review. Is Barry Ronge still alive?
Oh, shame. I've heard he's still alive. Now, I've heard he's still alive, but I've heard he's demented. I've heard he's just, he's not even really aware of... I mean, what a guy this was. Now, don't be mean.
No, if you Google his name, the first link that pops up is, did Barry Ronge die?
Oh, God, what a horrible... You know it's going to happen to us one day, right? Someone's going to type in on Google or whatever search engine replaces Google one day because we get sick of their ads. Something's going to replace them. Yeah. Someone's going to type in, is Leanne Moll, is Gareth Cliff, is C.S. Sanguini, is Ben Karpinski alive?
Oh, I get that a lot.
Because we'll be
followed
in someone's deck pool.
Ben's girlfriend.
Oh, really?
It's the sequence of Google.
Oh. I haven't Googled myself in ages.
I looked up my name the other day and it came up with, is Gareth Cliff still so fat?
Oh, no, you're kidding.
Yes. Fair question.
Oh, mine comes up as... Leanne Moll husband, Leanne Moll pictures, Leanne Moll divorce.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, that's the order it went in. It went husband, take pictures, and then got divorced.
Oh, wow. I just did this three days ago.
Your relationship's number one. Gareth Cliff, wife, show, married, net worth, and ooh. Twitter.
Oh, I've got a plane crash as one of my sessions.
Oh, my goodness.
A plane crash?
Yeah. Jesus Christ, Ben.
Like after the obvious ones, like, you know, Instagram girlfriend, Twitter, plane crash.
Yeah.
Interesting. I have C.S. Sanguini Instagram. shows where I spend my time.
Yeah.
Siya Sangweni Cliff Central, Siya Sangweni Finn, and then Siya Sangweni Soccer Player.
I'm glad to see my business features. I've also got Leanne Mole Leaves Cliff Central. Well, that's clearly outdated.
What? You left?
Stay in the loop, guys.
Someone's going to look us up one day and they'll find all this shit and more.
And then related searches are Mabale Moloi, Damon Calvari. Gareth, you don't feature.
Okay, well, sorry about that. Thought I played a part in your life, but clearly not.
No.
I don't know how old this article is, though, about Bairarunga, but it says the short answer is no. Bairarunga is alive and living somewhere in Cape Town, apparently.
Yeah, he's somewhere in the Cape. I don't think in Cape Town. I think he's somewhere in the Cape. And what I heard was that he's really not in a great mental health space, but that's pure rumor from people who I used to work with, who used to work with Barry. I don't know anything more than that. And if he is, I'm terribly sorry. If he isn't, I certainly don't want to be responsible for spreading it. I used to be an admirer of his from a distance. The guy used to write the most incredible columns. He was an extraordinary wordsmith.
Mm.
He was a very, very talented broadcaster. I had a lot of respect for Bairarunga, and I still do. And for a while, I was a producer of his. A couple of weeks. I didn't last very long. I wasn't good. And Barry was always the one. No, he said I was the worst producer he ever had, which I'm very proud of.
I give you a 2, Gareth.
No, he did. He gave me the worst score. In fact, if anybody ever, asked Bairarunga for a reference on me, I would have never got a job.
You wouldn't have got a scintillating 7.
Yeah, not that I ever applied for a job in my life, so I wouldn't know what to do if that happened. But he would not be a person I would list, even though we got on very well, and I've always admired and respected the guy. He didn't think I was a good producer, and I wasn't. He was right. He read that one 100% correct. So, Barry, I hope you are. I hope you're living out your life and having a good time, and that you are in good health. But I don't know for sure what the situation is.
Hmm.
But he's alive.
Wait, you were onto something. Yeah, you were onto something.
I'm trying to work my way back there.
Well, we'll get back to Bachelor Nation.
We're having a discussion about dementia. We have no idea how we got into Barry Ronger.
What? Who? What?
What you said you it? Heard something yesterday, or you were referencing something that happened yesterday.
I don't know. Crickets in my brain. I don't know.
I really do feel like we all
if you're listening to us and you know what the fuck's going on, then you might get us back on track, please.
Please help us.
All right. Morning, guys. What happened to the mystery box gift? People who listened to you since we... You Justice wants to know what happened to that mystery box gift.
Well, we sent them out and... Two things either happened. You sons of bitches weren't very grateful, or the post office didn't actually deliver it. Because we put love and care, and I in particular put this thing together. And we put together some great boxes.
Ben, really, he worked very hard on this.
Ben, which one are you leaning towards?
Ungrateful sons of bitches, yeah. You can tell.
So it'd be like, oh, look at this box. And so it wasn't like, it's not like we're looking for attention. We get enough of it here. See, it does at least. But I mean, a simple thank you.
I want you to listen to this. This makes me so happy because it's one of the things that I never want to burden anyone with. But here Frank in Johannesburg says, guys, I love the advertising in your show. It has improved my life. I signed up for Easy Equities. I've got one plan medical insurance, one plan pet insurance, and I recently switched to Naked Insurance.
Wow.
And all of that because they're advertisers on your show. Thank you for selecting appropriate sponsors, Frank in Johannesburg. And that makes me so happy because obviously then it means that we've got good people. You know, we never want to bring people into this ecosystem who you're not going to trust.
Yeah, Frank, Gareth often runs the other charlatans out with a stick.
I do. I chase them out. And sometimes Ben and Sia and Leanne will help, that we'll beat them out of the room.
Yeah.
It's happened before.
Come here with their illicit money.
Yes. Yeah, we won't take it from filth. Like the Basasa people, they came in here once.
Mm.
Do you remember when Dudu Zanizuma came in here and he wanted to do business with us? Do you remember that?
I wasn't here.
Oh, no, you weren't. That was the six-month sabbatical you were on.
Yeah.
But Dudu Zanizuma came in came in to visit us, I think, two or three times. And he came in that SLS car of his.
Fancy.
Dressed to the nines. And he came in and sat down. And said to me, you know, what is it you do and how can we get involved? And by we, I think he must have meant the Guptas.
The whole clan.
Yeah. And I said to him, you know, I've got to be honest with you. We're an independent media business. We're quite new. I don't think we want to take government or quasi-government money.
Sure. Well, thank goodness for that.
Yeah.
Kind of, and then he blew his nose on a turnaround note and said, fair enough.
Yeah, something like that.
Yeah.
But I do remember, I mean, I was very polite to him, and we swapped numbers and said, well, let's stay in touch. And then I did offer him a couple of times to come on the show and explain himself.
Yeah, and he was about to. And then
yeah, he said, I'm keen, I'll be there, and just tell me when. And we arranged it, and we were going to go and do a show from Gandla at one point. Mm. And then it just never happened. It just didn't unfold.
What made you think about that?
Well, I was thinking about, we won't take money from advertisers who are not people who could fit into what we do here. You know, we're very honest with each other. That we get the feedback from you if you don't like what we're doing. We mostly change it accordingly. We only bring people in who can add value to your life in some way. Advertisers, sponsors, people who are behind the production of various podcast series. Oh, and that reminds me, by the way, Blind History, which is taking off, people like that very much. This week we had Shaka Zulu, that's right. Blind History. That's correct. A crash course in getting to know history's greatest men and women. And by great, we don't always mean good. In the series hosted by me and Anthony Medereff and Taylor Blinds, we'll tell you the stuff that the history books leave out, the sordid stories, the less well-known details, and some of the stuff they didn't teach you at school. Don't miss episode 2, which came out this week. You can go and take a look at the life of Shaka Zulu. Go to cliffcentral.com. Look up Blind History. It is brought to you by Taylor Blinds.
Oh, this very week's good episode made me go home and YouTube some Shaka Zulu stuff.
Oh, do you remember with Henry Kele?
Oh, that remember movie that was,
ooh, I loved
it,
was that.
Superb. And still is it iconic.
Was
great.
And you know, that so was well produced done in South Africa during apartheid with our shitty local production facility. It was brilliant.
You
it
say
was
movie,
world-class.
But you mean series. It is a series, right?
Yeah. I just remember we had the VHS at home.
It was a series.
Oh, it was great.
I used to look forward to that every week.
Mm. That witch doctor.
Oh. Glowing blue eyes.
She was so scary.
That's the thing. I actually remember watching it as a younger kid and it would freak me out. And yeah, as I was watching it again this week, there were still those moments. I particularly watched the scene of Nandi's burial. And when other people had to die with her, mm-hmm, and be buried as well in this massive grave.
That's all true.
Shucks.
They say 7,000 or 8,000 people had to be killed during that time because they didn't cry hard enough.
Unreal. You know,
this is the thing about history's meanest people, is they weren't maybe a little bit mean. And you had to find out by looking and by trolling through their Twitter feed and finding one, you know, homophobic joke they made 20 years ago, like Kevin Hart.
Yeah.
If someone was a shit in the old days, they made it very clear that
very
they were
public,
shit.
Yeah.
And, you know, Shaka didn't hold back on his opinions and what he thought should happen. He's like, you didn't cry enough for my mom. Put him on that stake through the asshole and let him bleed out. There was no messing around.
And that, to him, made total sense.
Sure. I said in the podcast, he would kill mothers of calves, like cows that had just given birth, so that the calf would cry and know what it felt like to not have a mother because he'd lost his mother. It's like there's a psychopath.
His brain works very differently to most.
But what an interesting human being. And remember that the layout of South Africa today is still being affected by Shaka. No small achievement. During his reign, you know, it was maybe 20 years, changed everything.
Those so big 20 years.
I can't wait for you to hear the next episode and the one after that and the one after that. And we're recording a whole new batch on Monday. So there's going to be plenty, if you're into this series, for you to get stuck into. And the best part of it is also that you will be able to pass this on to other people. You can go and listen again. It's only 15 minutes. That's good news.
And it's nice having... It's nice. I battle reading history.
Yeah.
It's nice when it's spoken to you.
And by the way, a lot of people have given us feedback on that, and then I'll move on because I don't want to talk about this forever. But people are saying, oh, no, it should be longer. It should be more of a narrative thing where you tell the whole story of the person. You don't leave stuff out. The point was, we didn't want to just do what they do in a history book or tell the story that you could find on Wikipedia. What we wanted to do was find the facts behind these people that you don't find in most of the sources that are really interesting, that will come up in conversation the next time someone mentions Alexander the Great, you can say, oh, did you know that he,
yeah,
you know, fought on horseback against elephants. I mean, that's more interesting than here's what happened in the beginning of his life, here's what happened in the middle of his life, here's what happened in the end of his life.
Yeah.
And these are the dates associated. No one wants to know.
I hate those people who speak like that. Because there's so many around.
Speak like that. A lot of them were on The Bachelor.
Listen, why do those girls,
I know girls who sound like that. What is that? You know, there's that one who talks like this. Right? She's like that. Why do girls have voices like that?
Because they got it from the Kardashians. I had like a 20-minute monologue with my dad last night.
A monologue?
Telling him about the Kardashians. He'd never heard of them.
That's what a lucky man.
What?
I know, but I had to spoil the whole thing by telling him from the beginning. And yeah, I mean, if you actually put it into a 10-minute conversation or a narrative, you realize how much they've done and what a superwoman Kris Jenner is.
Mm-hmm.
Well, they say the devil works hard, but Kris Jenner works harder.
Yeah.
Because especially after this week, what happened? Long story short, roll your eyes if you aren't a Kardashian fan, but Khloe Kardashian has a baby daddy who has already cheated on her while she was heavily pregnant.
Mm.
And this week it just came out that Tristan, the baby daddy, cheated on...
Whose day baby daddy's this?
Khloe Kardashian's.
Oh.
Which one's Khloe?
Khloe was the one who everyone said was fat and looked like a man. Now she's skinny and has
the Kardashian brother.
She's the more handsome of the four.
She's the more handsome one.
Yes. So this week it came out that Tristan, Khloe's baby daddy, cheated on Khloe with Kylie Jenner's best friend. Kylie Jenner's the younger sister who's 21 now.
She's actually almost has more money than Kim.
The quarter-two billionaire one.
Mm.
And so she has a friend who's equally her age, so probably 19, 20. And Tristan cheated with her, which is nasty and slightly incestuous. Gosh. This is like a best friend who's grown up with the family and.
And how did Kris pull it together?
Oh, well, she's like swindling interviews. She made sure that Khloe was out on the town that night. She was photographed everywhere. And she made sure that like a couple of their friends were all out and commenting on the story as well, being caught in paparazzi shots.
Best momager ever.
She's a machine.
Oh, she's swindling all of this. And by the way, a new season of the reality show is about to premiere soon. So figure.
And I think what's quite impressive really is another thing I was explaining to my dad is how something as simple as a curvaceous figure has been influenced by them.
Yeah. Oh, now girls want big asses and...
Yeah. I mean...
and hair up the back.
Back in my day...
Back in
it was skinny legs and a flat butt.
Yeah.
And then you were it.
It still is for me.
Okay.
I haven't been influenced
by... Well, thank goodness you got skinny legs and a flat butt.
No, not for me as in... that's what I want for me. And listen to this quickly
I want to know what Kris Jenner's got against white guys though, because she keeps casting her daughters with all these same like black guys.
Doesn't basketball like players. Doesn't
Hey Ali, what's up?
Hey, how's it, Gareth?
Cool. What do you have in your mind?
I just wanted to bring up something. I have a question and a point to make. The point is, I wasn't too happy when you were arguing with Fumi the other day, and you got really, really personal. In a sense, she didn't take it personally. That was awesome to see. You know, she kept to her side of argument.
But
the fact that you were going into saying your ideas are stupid and dumb, that wasn't too cool.
Yeah, I know.
But that's the point.
I agree. By the way, I do agree with you.
Yes. I know you do, because yesterday you made that point. The question I have for you, Gareth, is being in I would assume a niche market. I listen to a lot of podcasts, and I know as mainstream as it's starting to get, it's still quite a niche market. How do you go about selling your for partnerships in your platform? Because I face a similar problem where it's kind of risky. All the risk is on the person paying you to partner up with you, but you still get good partnerships. How do you go about that?
Are those dogs in the background?
Yeah. What's that?
Like
I'm driving. Sorry.
Oh, wow. Okay. This must be like, maybe there's vocal fry on the line. You know what it is? It starts off with your own network. It starts off with people who you actually know. And you've got to have critical mass, and it's got to be about the quality of what you're producing. Those are the. I'm not going to go into too much of this because you and I are the only two who care about it. But it's start with the people you know, and the people who trust you, and people who buy into your vision. Because when we started this thing, I can name on one hand the sponsors we had and who helped us make a go of it, because we didn't have investors, and we needed to find people to help us float this business, because you know, for the first 3 to 5 years of your existence, it's not easy. And then it's about the quality of your product, and it's about figuring out ways. And we've evolved a lot, man. We don't do nearly the same thing in any way to what we were doing 5 years ago. In fact, it's almost unrecognizable in some ways. Yeah. The idea in the beginning was to take what we were doing on radio and to move it to the internet. And subsequent to that, we've discovered the power of podcasting, and we've really tried to position ourselves as the leaders in that respect, and it's working. And we're the biggest content producer in terms of podcasts in Africa. We've easily got the biggest podcast audiences, and we've got the smartest audiences too. So for me, it's not just about the numbers, which is how traditional media works. I always say to people, don't count the audience you reach the audience that counts. And that's what I value about this audience.
Awesome, man. All right. It's great to hear. Thank you.
Thanks,
and
dude.
Keep up the good work.
All right. Thanks, Ali. Cool.
Sure. Bye.
Bye-bye. So just quickly before we get to the five things. Vocal fry, right? That's what it's called.
Was that a fry?
A group of Christchurch clinicians have analysed the voices of 10...
By the way, if you're wondering what this woman, what she's trying to say, she speaks New Zealand. So
yeah,
it's a strange dialect. That
you really have to, you struggle to understand New Zealand people because they don't really speak English, and it's the ugliest form of English that's ever existed.
Back end Australian,
beautiful country, bad accent.
Yeah, it's almost like if you took someone who speaks English properly and you hit them really hard in the front of the head with a rock several times, then they would sound like a New Zealander. But try to follow, okay?
Christchurch clinicians have analysed the voices of 10 women aged 20 to 30 and compared it with the results of 10 women aged 46 to 50. They found they all used vocal fry. Now, I googled it, that is when the voice goes lower for emphasis and becomes gravelly. Think Kim Kardashian, Katy Perry, kind of sexy, kind of annoying. But the younger group used it twice as much as the older group.
I love raccoons in the world now. Fashion, like bloggers, Netflix.
In regular speaking mode, the vocal folds rapidly vibrate between a more open and more closed position as the air passes through.
I wonder if it's got anything to do with that Kim is opening her legs and closing them at the same time. Maybe that's creating like a vacuum between her pussy and her mouth. and it's like a, what do they call it? Like a trap. You know? Like, and then she opens her legs and suddenly she goes, I know what. She opens and closes her legs accordingly.
In vocal fry, the vocal folds are shortened and slack, so they close together completely and pop back open with a little jitter as the air comes through. That popping, jittery effect gives it a characteristic sizzling or frying sound.
I'm constantly on the go. And you just keep go. It's quite hard to do without sounding like something out of a horror film. It sounds much better with an American accent.
Yeah, it happens on The Bachelor in South Africa. That's my observation. The one girl's like, oh my God, I didn't get a lot of time with Lee.
Oh, I'm feeling nauseous again.
No. No.
It's like a frog. It sounds like a frog.
Gareth, are you having a stroke? Are you okay?
Like, all right.
Are you smelling popcorn?
It's exhausting. Apparently, when you smell popcorn, that means you're having a stroke.
Exactly. Burnt toast.
You have to be aware of these things.
Five things you need to know. We've got to hurry up. Otherwise, Ben gets cross with me because he has no time for sport.
No.
Okay. Jussie Smollett. Let's just keep this short and sharp.
What happened?
The 36-year-old black openly gay actor has been arrested after he was charged with lying to police in connection with the alleged attack.
Well, well, well.
Now, this guy, the police say they're going to take it easy on him because, you know, he's just a very, obviously he's a disturbed human being, because you'd have to be to do this, to stage your own hate crime, But the problem I have with this is he would have been quite happy to go to court and to testify, to bear false witness against the two people. If they'd arrested these two supposedly, these non-existent white guys who in MAGA hats, who were supposedly the ones who perpetrated this, according to his version in the beginning. Let's say the police had found two dudes. He would have been happy to testify against them in court, and they would have gone to jail for something like 20 years, because that's the appropriate sentence for a hate crime in America.
Right.
It's a very serious thing. So whatever is happening to him is nothing compared to what would happen if they actually did find two guys who were guilty of a hate crime. It turns out it was all made up. The whole thing so that he could get more money. That's all he was after. He wanted more money.
Sure.
The police had come out and said the stunt was orchestrated by Smollett because he was dissatisfied with his salary. So this is what is at the heart of all of this identity politics, victim hierarchy, leftist intersectionality bullshit, is that ultimately these are just greedy people who want more for themselves. And they will use whatever. They will exploit their group identities to the nth degree because they know that dumb, guilty people will pay them more money. It's been laid bare for all of us to see. If you can make yourself the biggest victim, you will get the most money. That's how Hollywood works, because they buy into this shit. And look what it's got Jussie Smollett. He's going to jail.
Jussie.
And he sent himself a racist homophobic letter, and he put aspirin in it to make it look like it. What a terribly sick, psychopathic, behavioral spin this guy's got himself
in. He's a loser.
I still don't understand.
And it's all because Trump's America is so racist and America is so homophobic.
It's not hard to understand. This guy is a loser, and he is the snapshot of most of the American youth who are so anti-Trump because Trump's such a bad guy.
Well, it's also this idea that America is this terrible place full of racists, homophobes, and every other kind of bigot. And the truth is exactly the opposite. There is so little racism and so little homophobia in America that they have to make it up. And no one wants to talk about that because it doesn't fit the victim hierarchy. Well, here we go.
You understand now, Sia?
What do you mean, Sia? Why are you giving Sia trouble?
Because Sia keeps saying, I don't understand.
This is what I don't understand. How really he thought this was going to work out well.
Can you just imagine the moment he was lying in his bed and he realized it was unraveling and it wasn't going to work? Imagine that moment of like, oh, I have seriously screwed up here.
When I found out yesterday that he'd been arrested, I actually went back and I watched his
ABC Morning America interview
and also watched his first performance like a couple of days
after. By the way, there are two groups of people who should be as embarrassed as he is about what's happened
and
here.
And those are?
The first group is the mainstream media, including CNN's Don Lemon.
This was CNN's great story for the year.
Who always believe the victim. And we know that is a very dangerous path to tread. So first of all, the mainstream media have got egg on their face, and they're all trying to walk it back now and make it look like they were responsible. These are not journalists. These are opinionated people who want to influence the narrative. They are clearly not to be trusted. Donald Trump was right. They're fake news. That's what they exist for. They exist to trot out a narrative. And you should be very ashamed of yourself. CNN, MSNBC, Washington Post, all of these major publications. These are not small-time internet bloggers. These are big media organizations, and they just went hook, line, and sinker for this whole story. Hate crime turns out to be bullshit from beginning to end. So they're the first group. The second group that need to be embarrassed are all the Democratic presidential nominees who jumped on this bandwagon. Kamala Harris, Cory Booker, all of them who said, oh, this is a modern day lynching. Well, clearly it isn't. Clearly you guys are just completely deluded. Some of them have been deleting their tweets so that they don't look as stupid as they clearly are. Some of them are trying to change the story to, well, I'm waiting for more information, which is just so lazy.
There's a third group, and there's all these actors and celebrities who got on that quickly. Who also started deleting their tweets.
Oh, there was a chick who went on Stephen Colbert, and she was like furious. She's like, enough, we've got to stop this shit. It's fucking enough. That's what she said. She was basically in tears on Stephen Colbert. The hate. Donald Trump's reign of hate.
Oh, it was Ellen Page.
That's it.
Yes.
Oh, please shut up. I mean, forever we're going to... That's your best acting role, honey. For the rest of your life, I hope that that clip haunts you. Because you jumped on this, you were ready to believe all this shit, and look at what it's amounted to.
So anyway, actually watching those two interviews, it's interesting in hindsight to reflect on the fact that Jussie was more emotional and annoyed that people weren't believing him.
Yes.
And I'm not a psychologist, I'm not a therapist, but you now go, that should have been a red flag to us. That why are you so worked up over people not believing you? Shouldn't you be worked up over the fact that you were abused and you should just be at home recuperating?
And he was putting out messages like, I'm okay.
And now it's just funny to see him fake cry.
Of course you are. You wrote a check for $3.5 He wrote a check, signed a check in his own hand to these two Nigerian brothers who helped him orchestrate this. It's just unbelievable. Anyway, let's move closer to home. Edenvale. One of the most dangerous suburbs.
Stuff happened there yesterday.
Witnesses spent some time there, Jussie.
Witnesses have relived Thursday afternoon's events at Edenvale High School, where two suspects were shot dead during a robbery. Three others have been arrested, and police are looking for an unknown number of suspects. One pupil said she heard a bullet hit the wall of her classroom. But then in Edenvale, isn't that normal?
No.
I'm not laughing.
My ex-husband went to that school, and when I asked him, when I first met him, I said, where did you go to school? He said, Edvar. So that's how I know it.
So let me try and do this then in an appropriate accent. The pupil said she heard the bullet hit the wall of her classroom.
I first heard two gunshots, and one bullet hit the wall of my classroom while we were writing, and our teacher told us to hide under the desks.
That's the exact accent.
One woman, of course, no one was killed, so we can make fun of this, all right? And it is Edenvale, so you know.
Well, there were
people
killed, but they were the suspects. But no teachers or pupils were harmed.
I don't have the update about them being arrested or shot. So, of course I do. Sorry.
You just said it.
Yeah. Two suspects shot dead. Yeah, all right. But no the pupils, none of the innocent people were shot. Mm-hmm. All right, let's leave that story before I fuck it up some more.
But where did it take place, Leanne?
At Edenvale.
Thanks.
If you think that's bad, Kempton.
Oh, Kempton, eh?
The Gauteng Department of Education says a school in Kempton Park was targeted by robbers on Thursday afternoon.
Wow.
It's understood a member of the governing body was robbed of 20,000 rand at Norcombe Park High School after withdrawing the cash meant for a school trip.
Oh, no.
Listen, and let me tell you something, without making too much of a mockery.
What are people trying to rob people of at schools?
It's terrible, because I don't know.
Money for trips.
It's just awful. I mean, you can't send your kids to school and know that they're safe anymore. I feel very, very bad for people who've got kids in schools, not only because we heard that horrible story about that bridge that collapsed at that school just the other day, and then you hear Driehoek, then you hear about this robbery at Norcombe Park, and you hear about the shooting at Edenvale. I mean, schools are a dangerous place. Mabona says, that's Steve Mabona, the education spokesperson, they're worried about criminals targeting schools. It appears we are becoming an easy target, and we call upon the law enforcement officers to work very closely with us in terms of our necessary visible policing. Panyaza Lesufi is also worried about the spate of robberies that have targeted schools in Gauteng. He says that schools are too easy a target for criminals. We have requested law enforcement agencies to prioritize us as school institutions, because banks and people have strengthened their security and it's only schools left. You see, Ben, that answers your question. They're easy targets. That's why people are attacking them and going there. One last story you need to know about. This is quite interesting. Burberry have apologized for a suicide hoodie with a noose knot.
Oh, dear.
Who knew that the fashion industry would be so extraordinarily controversial. Katy Perry had her blackface shoes, which are just the most disgusting shoes you've ever seen.
There was the little monkey on the jacket.
Yes, the
hoodie.
H&M. So the chief executive and chief creative officer of luxury fashion powerhouse Burberry have apologized for putting a hoodie with strings tied in the shape of a noose on their London Fashion Week runway. When has anything that's been worn on a fashion show runway ever been sensible? And now we're going to take this one seriously. I mean, people wear like plastic raincoats with nothing underneath.
Yeah, if we had to see everything.
Tall hats, witches' cloaks, whatever it is. It's all stupid, ridiculous, crazy stuff.
Oh, my God.
Oh, my God, fashion. So the fashion industry is pretty much a place for lunatics. And I don't know why anyone would be upset about Burberry's noose when they, I mean, you should see the shoes this chick is wearing in the picture.
Yeah,
you
think what the noose is a problem.
And the fur
the
coat
noose is the problem.
The fur coat with like patches missing. It almost looks like a homeless person would wear this.
It's
and they're
horrible.
Worried about the noose. God, it's the most awful outfit you've ever seen. Just look it up.
It's a joke.
Model wearing a creation by Burberry in the autumn-winter 2019 Fashion Week runway show in London.
Oh, my gosh. I can't believe people actually waste time and money on this.
Suicide is not fashion, said an activist. It is not glamorous or edgy, since the show is dedicated to the youth expressing their voice.
What's the definition of an activist?
It's just someone who's a loudmouth. Really, they're just the kind of people who are looking for attention. Honestly, it's just noisy, loud people who never really do anything. Because an activist is by definition someone who doesn't get involved.
The opposite of the word active.
Yeah, they don't go and run the soup kitchen or fly to Burundi and intervene in a genocidal war. They don't go and join the military and go and fight in a far-flung country.
At the most, they'll hold up a sign or send out a tweet.
Yeah, that's what they do. It's just unreal. Can we go to a call quickly before we get to Ben?
Sure.
Ben, are you happy with that?
Yeah, sure.
Very aware of your time.
Everyone agrees. All right. Okay.
Good morning. What's up? Sorry. No hope of that.
Oh,
Bitcoin, $3,927 and Ethereum, $145. Ben, over to you.
Right, yes, sport this weekend. There's lots and lots of rugby, Six Nations Super Rugby. McIlroy's go off to a great start in Mexico, and the Proteas are still stumbling against Sri Lanka. Yeah, you thought that maybe that test in Durban was just a bit of a whoopsie. Well, I tell you what's another whoopsie. It's this Proteas batting lineup.
Mm-hmm.
That wasn't a homophobic slur, in case you're wondering. They just can't really bat that well. As simple as that. I mean, Dean Algar used to be the rock at the top. Well, he's getting single figures now. And Umlo and Bavuma both got ducks. Oh, the horror. The misery. Markram got 60. He stuck around. Faf du Plessis also stuck around for a bit with 25. But if it wasn't for Quinton de Kock down the order with 86, they would have been well and truly in the doo-doo. So, Rabada hung on with him as well. 222 all out. It's just not good enough. It's simply not good enough. I know nowadays that the trend is to make real bowler-friendly pitches here in SA. But 222 against the Sri Lankan lineup, which basically cast absolutely no fear into anybody prior to the series, just not good enough. Thankfully, the Proteas did get some wickets of their own when they came out to bowl, and Sri Lanka will resume day two on 60 for 3. Of course, they're just waiting for Pereira to come in. He's their star batsman, but they're doing all right already. And that will take place in PE. So if you're in PE, you can go watch live test cricket. I'm very excited. There's also lots of rugby this weekend. Lots and lots and lots of rugby. Because Super Rugby's back. And the Highlanders will be kicking off against the Reds first up today, 8:35. Then it's the Sunwolves versus the Waratahs on Saturday. This game will be in Tokyo, so it'll be really early at 6:15. Then the Crusaders versus the Hurricanes. There's your big match for the weekend, 8:35. Of course, the Crusaders are the defending champions, and the Hurricanes, well, they're always bloody exciting. Then we've got the Brumbies versus the Chiefs in Canberra, possibly one of the most boring places in the world. I tell you what, this game might not be very different to that. 10:45, and then the Sharks are taking on the Blues in Durban. Sonny Bill Williams will be playing, for all the women out there who slightly like rugby, and that game will be at 3:05. Then the Stormers will be hosting the Lions, and what a game this is going to be. The Stormers are in, we're one game in, and people are asking for the coach to be fired. Why is he there anyway? Because the Stormers are in a bit of a... Okay, Western Province Rugby, we've all had the story of how it's mismanaged, it's going through the ringer right now. But they can't exactly fire Robbie Flick. If they were going to fire him, they should have fired him last year. You can't just give him a couple of games and go, right, you know, you're out on your ass. So it's a talented team. The Stormers have got a good team. Even Etzebeth's back on the bench, as is Frans Malherbe. So it's a great team. It's still there. I mean, it really is. But they're playing against the Lions, SA's best team. I know they just come back from go wide of the country. But they will still be a bloody hard team to beat. So if the Stormers start off with two losses in this campaign, even more mounting pressure on Robbie Flick, whose hair went white a long time ago. And he might be forced into binge drinking to try to deal with this. A lot of pressure on him. A lot of uppity journalists are saying, you got to go. We need to give more opportunities to different coaches. Tough times. Tough times. Tough. Vagawarath will then be hosting the Bulls at court 20 to midnight on Saturday. So look at that. From 6:15 on Saturday morning all the way through to 20 to midnight, there are games kicking off.
Tracy sent me an email the other day to say, I'm going to read this straight from her. The only reason I listen to the sport is to hear Ben say, Jaguares.
Oh, Yeah, and you're going to hear it until June. Super Rugby season, there it is.
Such a short season.
Six Nations. Well, that's exciting, isn't it? Because they could all be decided this weekend with one match. France are playing Scotland. France never going to win. Scotland will always try hard, but they won't win either. So that's a 4:15 on Saturday. But then at 7:15, Wales versus England. Oh, the sing-songs and the fanfare. What a game this is going to be. These two, well, they really are kind of thinking they could win this. England are looking resurgent with Eddie Jones. And Wales, well, they've been probably the most underrated team the last couple of years. But they're still up there. I think they're ranked 3rd in the world. A really good side. They don't lose a lot of matches. They play a really good tactical brand of rugby. So that game will be at 7:15 on Saturday. And then Sunday, Italy will be getting hammered by Ireland. That'll be at 5 o'clock. There's, of course, lots and lots of football over the weekend. I'll kind of breeze through it because Man City aren't playing. And no one really cares about other ones because it's all about the title race, right? Mm-hmm. Sunday, 4:05, Man United are hosting Liverpool. Such a massive game this because, of course, Liverpool feel this is their year. And Man United feel that now that they got rid of Jose, then they can also do pretty well. Well, who'll know? I know all those that Liverpool fans, if you are, this is the big game, right? Gord Laws is a Man United fan. So yes. If you get onto Twitter, give him stick. Win, lose, or draw, it's a victory for all. Just give Gord Laws crap about this game. They currently are tied with Man City at the top of the log, but they do have the one game in hand, and this is that game. So if they beat Man United, it's going to really do wonders for their title race. If they lose, well, could really just go tits up from there. In Mexico, in the Golf de Club Chapultepec.
That's a great name. Rory McIlroy. That as much as I like Juarez.
Yeah, Club de Golf de Chapultepec. In Mexico City.
Say that when you're drunk.
Oh, I probably do.
What did I drink? Golf de Club de Chapultepec. So Rory McIlroy, he came out firing. He shot a 63. That's 8 under. It's a really great course. It's very exciting. There's so many holes with just all kinds of different stories happening. And, of course, very tree-lined. So if you miss the fairway here, you've got to be really kind of creative in how you get back in play. Now, McIlroy, who has decided that he's going to miss the Irish Open this year because he wants to prepare for the British Open, or the Open Championship as it's more conventionally known, which is being played in Northern Ireland this year, he is, well, look at him go. Look at him go. Dustin Johnson, he's won here before. He's at -7, just one back. And then George Kutsia, he is the best South African placed. He's 4 back on 67. This will be taking place, of course, in Mexico City, so it'll be a late night game, but well worth watching. All the best golfers are there, all of them except for Justin Rose. So you've got the top 71 people. Very exciting. There is other sport. There's lots of it, but I shall cut to the chase and just give you one more story, and that is Zion Williamson. He's touted to be the next LeBron James. So,
okay, a name to remember.
Yeah, he is. He plays for, I think, Duke University. And all kinds of celebs have been watching Duke University of late. Floyd Mayweather, Barack Obama, LeBron James.
Floyd Mayweather.
Yeah. Jay-Z. They've all been watching this guy play because they believe he's the big deal. 35 seconds into this match, though, his Nike basketball shoe exploded.
Oh, God.
Oh,
his
my
shoe
word.
Actually exploded, resulting in a sprained knee.
Did it happen by itself?
Yeah, the shoe just
was exploded. Colin Kaepernick involved?
No, although he was forced into taking a knee with a sprain.
Jeez.
And that was it. So, yeah.
Scary.
Bit of a nothing story. We've already spoken so much about Caster this week, so I had to give that a skip. And ultimately, your big highlights are Golf Club de Chapultepec, where McIlroy is in the lead. And then Super Rugby. And then, of course, there's some Premier League. And, yeah, enjoy.
Oh, marvellous.
Enjoy your big weekend ahead.
All right, thanks, Ben. That's nice of you to say that. Isn't that nice of him?
I'm a nice
Very
guy.
Very nice, Ben.
Oh, I am Very a nice good. Guy.
Let's get to Sia. Said by Sia. Who wants some inspiration this morning? Some fun, some optimism, some excitement. Sia, over to you.
Thank goodness for the guys who glop the gym butt every single day.
Yo, what?
1, 2, 3, 4, 5.
Yo.
What? What?
What? Because one of them just saved the day in Michigan and the United States.
Not here in Eden, va?
Oh, no. One day we're going to get to that point, but not today. Ryan Bletch is a 29-year-old power lifter.
Oh, no, Ryan.
Do you know?
You know him, man.
No, but that's just such a name for a gym boy. Ryan Bletcher.
Yeah, do you know he squats 950 pounds?
Yo, that's nothing, eh?
Deadlifts 800 pounds.
Yo, okay, he's quite a small
That's like a car.
800 pounds is like 362 kgs. I had to find out. Good thing that you pointed out a car, Leanne, because Ryan was at work. He's 29 years old in Michigan, and he heard a huge crash and bang outside.
A crash and a bang.
When he walked outside of the office, it was an accident, and there were two people who were stuck in this car, and they had driven into a street pole.
Hmm.
So what does Ryan do? Because he claps the
jump. Did he lift the car?
Yo.
No way, sir.
Ryan went up to that car.
Did he pick it up with his hands?
Picked it up and was able to save the people.
Shut the prick.
Okay.
Oh, believe it.
So I'm really not trying to take the stereotype piss, but may I read his direct quote?
Yep,
so these are his words, right. Mind you.
Go.
When I first approached the vehicle, there was a good four men there. And they were all trying to move this vehicle. And I seen it wasn't happening.
Yeah. All right.
And I figured, what a better time now to use what I know I can actually do. I just jumped right in. I seen a window that was broken out of the back of the vehicle. And I knew if I can swing the vehicle in a certain direction, I can free him from that pole. So I just stuck my arms in. And I don't know. I just grabbed it, lifted it up, and started pushing, and all I heard was, that was enough, we can get him. The man Ryan saved and another woman suffered serious injuries, but thankfully there were no fatalities that were reported from this. And, you know, he went and actually visited them in hospital a couple of days later, and he says that they're in good spirits, given the entire scenario, of course. But he's really being hailed for his quick thinking and being able to really just save these two people's lives. I think it's so cool.
Shout out Ron.
Yeah, hello. Ron just claps the butt. Claps the gym butt.
Claps the tragedy.
And by the way,
lekka.
He lifted the car was an SUV and weighs 2 tons. So Jesus. For a guy who's usually at gym, Ryan himself weighs 158 kilograms and he usually just lifts 362 kilograms.
Okay, that's a lot of muscle.
And now
the PBA. Jeez. I don't know if anyone knows of the Victory Park gym.
Yeah. Of course.
So when you're on the bikes or on the treadmills, there's this enormous window which you look out onto the road onto.
Oh, so that's onto the water?
I said too many onto.
Which the ride is that?
No, man. Victory Park.
Victory Park. All right.
So I was on the bicycle minding my own business, and I saw an accident happen on the road in front of me. Well, we all did. I'm telling the truth. And there were cars that had piled up behind each other. And as I was watching everything unfold, I realized one of them was my best friend.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
Leanne Mole.
So I got off of the bicycle and I said out aloud, "That's my friend."
Oh, did anyone
ran
help?
Outside. She had just actually stopped because she saw the accident happen herself. So she was just doing all the phoning and that sort of thing. But yeah.
Hey, good morning. You're
like Ryan.
You're on the air. Go ahead. Yeah, what's up?
Thanks. Spoke about the robbery at that Edenvale school earlier.
Yes.
So government wants to give the schools and the kids all tablets to do their schoolwork on.
Yeah.
That to me is number one. I don't think we can afford it because that's a mutable lot of tablets.
Mm.
And number two, that is the stupidest thing and the most dangerous thing for the kids to walk around with. Do you not think that they'll get robbed? If I was a robber or a crook, you know, that would be the easiest target under the sun, is kids coming out from school with their tablets in their backpacks.
Yeah, I think that what they should do is arm the headmasters at very least, maybe all the other teachers. That's my opinion. That's what I think should happen, is that you should arm the teachers. Yeah. No one's going to come and shoot up a school if they know that all the teachers are carrying. I think they'll be a little bit more careful.
It's bloody stupid, man.
It's bloody stupid.
Bloody stupid.
I agree.
Yeah, bloody stupid.
Yeah.
All
right, bro. Thanks, man. Have a lucky day. Bye-bye.
My dad used to say that to me when I got things wrong, said something wrong. He'd say, "Ah, you bloody stupid."
That's such love. All right. Guys, can we discuss Vodacom's assholery, says Dips.
Mm.
They're running a competition where you can win a Huawei Y7. How do you win? I hear you ask. Vodacom being Vodacom. Again, let me just read this properly because this is not. So clearly they've got a competition.
Okay.
You have to opt in to out-of-bundle charges, and Vodacom being Vodacom, I'm sure they'll say you can't opt out for 6 months or so after you opt in. So basically, they're running one of these competitions.
Yeah, I think I got a message alert about that.
Locked into something. Don't fall for this crap. These guys, they're just running out of ideas. I mean, the telecoms businesses in this country are so devoid of ideas at the moment because they're in trouble.
Thank goodness they're not state-owned. It would be worse.
Yeah, that's true. A noose knot sounds like the Gareth Cliff Show version of anus knot, says somebody else. You know the noose knot in the Burberry top that we were talking about? It sounds like we were saying anus.
Oh, a noose.
Tony says, it seems I enjoy living in suspect areas. I grew up in Kempton and now I live in Welkom. Lekker. Oh. No, you got to get out of there, Tony. Tony, don't buy property because you're the worst person. You obviously don't know a good area from a bad. Norcombe Park, he says. That was my old school.
Ah, oh. Look at that.
Sure. That's great, hey. I want to meet someone from Norcombe Park. Matt in Cape Town says, on the Jussie issue, clearly the mainstream media's demand for racism exceeds the supply. Very well put,
very
Matt.
Well put.
That's a beautifully crafted sentence. Excellent way to look at this. Morning all, says somebody else. Thanks for the great show, but I am missing Ben's dickheads of history. Just saying. Hint, hint, Ben.
Mm. Yeah, sorry. It's just too much work.
Jeez. All right, Ben. It's so exhausting to be Ben. Clint from the Vaal says...
Fuck it is, Gareth.
Clint from the Vaal says, Gareth, I recorded my girlfriend without her knowing last night trying to explain the latest Kardashian drama. Bear in mind, I know less than the average person on the street about this family. Other than that, they are rich and for porn or just existing. Well, that's pretty much all of us, Clint. She actually got so frustrated with me for not understanding the family dynamics. Please find the attached voice recording. Just do me a favor, because I can't play it off this machine. Just email it to me, gareth@cliffcentral.com. All right, Greg says, loving blind history, no chance of making it a bit longer. No.
No.
That was quick.
That's it. But the rest is history.
There's going to be the greatest new episodes every week. There's a new episode every week, and it is terrific. It is truly tremendous. You're going to love it. It's amazing. So stick around for that.
And speaking of messages, we were Googling ourselves earlier.
Yes.
And I did find a connection to Gareth.
Oh, well done.
Before it wasn't, it you say? Weren't mentioned. It was a Facebook update that you made in 2011.
Oh.
Where you said, bitter divorcee Leanne Mole says an engagement ring is a gift and you can keep it even if you break it off like Hef's ex. I say you may reclaim it and use it a second time on a younger, hotter fiance. What do you say?
That's great. I knew my way around Facebook in those days.
Yeah, look
asking
at that.
Asking exciting questions, bringing in bitter divorcee, Leanne Mole. It's great. Is that how I described you?
That's your claim to fame.
Oh, that's fantastic. Hip, hip, hooray! All right, very nice. So we'll be back in a moment or two. We're going to have Jason Greer pop in. He is, of course, the host of The Bachelor South Africa. We're going to talk about that because we're all on board with Bachelor Nation.
Yeah, and we're going to get assigned names.
Yes, Ben's got a whole pool here.
And money's going in, huh?
Of the girls.
We're all putting 100 RON in.
Are we choosing the names?
Well, we all get to choose names, okay?
Why? No. Because I have my name is not even on there.
But Leanne, you said you don't want to be involved. You said you hate this and makes your teeth grind.
I've changed my mind.
Please rework the cards, Ben.
There's space next to Sia's name. Put my name in that.
We can't
column.
Leave her out. We can't do Bachelor Nation without one girl.
Well, I hate forcing people to do things I don't like, Gareth.
No, I'll be fine. Don't worry about my well-being.
And there are now 18 girls. 18 divided by 4.
Doesn't work, I know. Do the maths, really. There's a spanner in the works.
Four. One person.
All right. While you sit there and work it out, you rock star geniuses. Let's get ready. Friday morning.
This is CliffCentral.com.